I asked, he delivered.
He always does, Marcus. He's good like that.
Boy. Here's the godfather here, Desmond Dekker. Israelites. Yeah. And then I saw him 50 years later wearing a Bulls jersey. Probably at Slim's.
That's money. I'm glad you were at that gig. You know, the first time I heard this tune was in the Drugstore Cowboy soundtrack. Shout out Matt Dillon, Murph, your guy.
That's our guy, very much so. And our Giants beat writer on a Friday is Susan Slusser, who we saw Wednesday doing her thing with that. She calls it the Gabe Gab. The Gabe Gab.
Good call.
Or, Susan, do you also call it the Cap Chat? Is that it? Good morning.
Yeah. I think the great Mike Pasnisi of the Giants PR department, I think, called it the Cap Chat once. I'm pretty sure that was him. So I haven't trademarked that one. I've trademarked the Gabe Gab.
Gabe Gab's.
I like both of them.
Yeah, Gabe Gab's good. And how would you, like, you know, so now we've gone to a couple of them on the Wednesdays. We try to get at their Wednesday day games. But how would you characterize this? Is he chattier than the average bear, or is he about average with your skippers through the years, or is he a little? What I'm talking about when he kind of goes off script,
It's different. It's different. I think he's more expansive. I think especially when he gets a topic that really piques his interest.
Right.
He really likes to kind of talk things through. If there's something that either, especially if it's something he doesn't know much about, which I really, really like, you know, a lot of people in pro sports are just, if it's a topic they don't know much about, they either pretend they do or change the subject or whatever. He wants to know more. Or if somebody brings up an idea that he hasn't considered, you know, he likes to examine it. So he's super interesting. He really is. But yeah, he can go off on a good tangent. And honestly, those are sometimes some of the most interesting things we've talked about.
Yeah, I agree. And Giants go to Cincinnati tonight, 3:40 first pitch, Carlos Rodon. And they're going in with a little energy, Susan. And man, from about Tuesday, Tuesday at around 9 p.m. through Wednesday afternoon, sort of the energy of this team changed, didn't it? Because when Tyler Rogers coughed up 7 in the top of the 8th of the Mets and they were about to lose their 6th in a row, it was looking pretty bleak. The Jock Peterson 3-run home run's looming pretty large, and then turning around and starting Jock the next day.
Yeah, I loved that. They almost never give out the platoon advantage, but that was the day to do it. And the fact that Peterson comes up his first at bat and homers, just tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of interesting things going on in there with that decision. But among other things, Gabe flat out admitted, like, you know, this is kind of what people expect. Like, I know that.
And he went ahead and, you know, it was almost like he said was he going against his grain or against his better instinct in starting him that day? It was almost like he was sort of making an excuse like, well, I know what people expect. So, I felt like if he separated himself from any public pressure, he would not have started him.
I think he probably would have. The night before, I was guessing that they would stick with the platoon advantage just because they're the Giants and that's what they do. But let's just say it for me, it was kind of an unexpected and I think delightful surprise that they didn't. And I like that they'll take everything into account, whether, you know, it sends a nice message to everyone on the team, right? Like, hey, you have a momentous kind of evening. You get a little bit of appreciation for that. We can show you a little extra appreciation.
Yeah, very cool. Giants at Cincinnati tonight. Carlos Rodon, a little bit more on what's going on with this two-game win streak that kind of turned the story and the energy of this month around here, because the Giants were in a bad way, losing 5 in a row. They go ahead and do it. And one of the guys who just we don't talk about much, but I want to give him a little love, is Wednesday's starting pitcher, Jacob Junis. And not only is the guy pitching really well, like arguably, you know, it goes Rodon, Webb, Junis. I mean, he's right. I know Cobb's pitched better than his record and all that, but he's been really, really good. And plus, Susan, sporting the haircut of a Flock of Seagulls bassist, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's not quite, you know, he doesn't quite have like the long mohawk-y kind of thing going on, the, you know, Chandler Bing in the early 90s look. Or
nice,
look.
I got you. Yeah, but, good call.
Yeah, he's got this kind of cascade of curls that he kind of brushes forward over his forehead. It's an interesting look, and it's really good. It's a really good look. It's a little, you know, teen idolish look.
Yeah, yeah, good call.
And then he gets out, Susan.
He's also really good. Yeah, he's just exactly, you know. It seems like we spend a lot of time saying this, you know. he is exactly the Giants mold of pitcher. Go out and find the guy who you can maybe tweak a little bit. You know, he's going to throw strikes. You know, he's going to be competitive. And this is a guy who is a really, really smart pickup, you know, and somebody with options that they could send out and have available when needed. And my goodness, did they need him? I mean, like, we did not need to see any more bullpen games or, you know, any kind of stuff like that, with especially that stretch when they were missing both Cobb and DeSclafani. That was starting to get a little nerve-wracking, I think, for the Giants coaching staff. And having Junis in there and a regular rotation, that's been really big for them. Under the radar, really, really important.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, but get your Junis jersey and go out there and grow out your hair like Junis and sport the cascade of curls like Susan's talking about. Hey, Susan, good story today on the infield defense behind Tyler Rogers. You wrote this in the Chronicle today, and it is a really interesting little twist of events that I don't think I've ever seen a situation where a guy induces such weak contact that it's a problem. And you wrote about where do they put their defenders? How do you defend weak contact? What did you find out?
Well, I mean, I think maybe one of the best ways to look at it is almost what Kapler said when I asked him the other day. You know, I was like, does this kind of make him a little bit of an ideal match up against teams with a lot of speed? And he said probably, and then he kind of thought about it for a second. Then he said, yes, 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 yes. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shame, right? You make the right pitch and you don't get rewarded for it. And that we saw that happen all day, you know, the 7-run inning. I mean, really, he kept making the pitches that he wanted to make, and he was just getting nothing. The balls were getting hit where guys weren't, or the contact was so weak, these fast Mets guys were on base, and it just was kind of hard to watch, I think, for everybody. So I don't know what the answer is. You can't defend it. He gets such weird swings. You don't quite know where to position anybody, right? You know, guys are way late, way early. It's line to line, and that makes it tough. These are things that do tend to even out over the course of the year. But yeah, maybe in a tight game, if it's a team with a lot of speed, maybe he's not the guy you go to first.
Or you guys kicked it around with the B-Riders, 5 infielders. And Gabe admitted it's been talked about.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he was pretty clear that he's only going to do that with the game on the line, you know, kind of the more traditional use of 5 infielders, right? I don't think that's something that we would see regularly, because that's too much of a risk too.
Yeah, it'd be fun though. I remember Art Howe doing it with us. We were in Kansas City in '99. I remember doing that.
Yeah.
And it led to a Billy Taylor blown save, and then me and Tony Phillips had an incident in the post-game clubhouse. You remember that, Susan?
I do. I don't remember the specifics, but was that where I'm not sure I can drop any of what some of Tony Phillips' best lines. I'm not sure I can actually say them on the radio.
No.
But he did say something like, that irks my posterior.
Right, right.
Yeah. And by the way, the world is a paler and duller place without Tony Phillips in it.
Oh, absolutely. He was phenomenal to cover.
I just like you referring to it as an incident.
Oh, it was an incident.
We had an incident.
Well, Howard likes to talk about that one a lot.
And I know about
Susan,
it too. I've heard about it.
Susan, I always tell Paul these details. So when Tony came at me and he's coming out with the profanity, and it fell real quiet in the Royals club visiting clubhouse, and I just kind of briefly looked around to see what was going on, and I saw Ben Grieve, 1998 Rookie of the Year, I believe, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's about 6 lockers down, shirtless in jeans, staring at us with his arm raised and slowly applying deodorant under his arm as he looked at us. One of those moments in time, Susan.
That's an odd memory.
One of those moments in time. Hey, at least he was going to smell good going out. And then whatever happened to Ben Grieve?
Yeah, he did. I think he was one of those guys that was good at baseball but didn't really enjoy it all that much.
That's an interesting call. Remember when Billy compared him to Tiger Woods?
Wow.
He had a ton of talent. He just didn't, he was not maybe as invested in it as perhaps. I think if he had absolutely loved it and devoted himself to it, he could have been, you know, a perennial all-star type player, but he just wasn't. He wasn't that guy.
Yeah. Wound up playing 9 years in the bigs, finished with the Cubs in 05. All right, how do we look at this road trip? You know, they're five. Dodgers won again last night, 14-1. Another position player pitching for the Diamondbacks, which is just, we're done with it.
It's almost a nightly thing now.
This is dumb. Yeah. It's just annoying. I heard John Wiseman in L.A. said it feels like the Pro Bowl when a position player's out there. You know what I mean? It's like, what are we doing?
Gimmicky.
But Giants are 5.5 out, and big road trip here through Cincy, Philly, Miami. You see this without Belt, without Wade, you know, Casale. I don't know what the story is. So, I mean, Cincinnati should be gettable, Susan, but they just dropped 20 on the Cubs last night. So, you're feeling going into the series?
I think that this is probably a pretty good series for the Giants to take. You know, that's if you're looking at odds, et cetera, I think that's probably a good bet. The Giants are pretty well set up for it. So, it's not quite as difficult as their last road trip, the one before that, because the last one was just the two games at L.A., but the four-city trip with the add-on, this is not that. But, you know, they do need to play well in Cincinnati. We talk a lot about good teams beat the teams they should, and this is the stretch where they're going to have to do that, because so far we have not seen them necessarily play their best against the really good teams.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Susan, I know you're Johnny Shea. You handed the baton to Johnny Shea. So enjoy your well-deserved downtime. We will read Shea, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Susan.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
There she is, Susan Slusher, taking the Philly-Miami, or Cincy-Philly-Miami trip off.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.